Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey, and welcome to the Short Stuff. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck and Jerry sitting in for Dave, and this is Short Stuff. Short Stuff!
That's right. All about something that, and big thanks to Mental Floss, Thought Co., and How Emotions Are Made, but a big thing that happens to a lot of people is when, and for me it happens when I say a word out loud too many times. Mm-hmm. I've never had the experience of writing a word too many times.
Oh, really?
No, I guess because I just don't sit around and write the same word over and over. But it's the idea that if you say something or write something over and over, that word starts to sound weird or look weird. Then it starts to completely kind of fall apart the more you do it, to the point where you're like, what even is driveway?
Right. It becomes just a string of sounds, or if you're just seeing it visually, a string of letters.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon.
It is. Yeah? It's an actual thing. It's called semantic satiation, and it's actually a kind of a window into the way our brain works. I believe to conserve energy, but we'll dive a little more into it. The thing is, semantic satiation is not new. We've been probably doing it ever since we've been speaking or writing words,
yeah.
Right? So, say, mm-hmm. Bronze Age. And it was first described, semantic satiation was first described in 1907 in the American Journal of Psychology.
Should I read it?
I think you should, because I think it gets it across really well.
All right. If a printed word is looked at steadily for some little time, it will be found to take on a curiously strange and foreign aspect. Mm-hmm. This loss of familiarity in its appearance sometimes makes it look like a word in another language, sometimes proceeds further until the word is a mere collection of letters, mm-hmm. and occasionally reaches the extreme where the letters themselves look like meaningless marks on the paper.
Right. So these psychologists who were describing it back in 1907 are basically focused on seeing it written.
Right.
Again, that's how I've normally experienced it. And the best way to experience it is to just have one word, that one word typed out on paper, right? Because mm-hmm. it's in isolation and it quickly falls apart. But they nailed something, I think, in their description. It's a loss of familiarity. It just doesn't, it's not itself any longer. And it's completely subjective to you, because the person sitting next to you might not be experiencing that. While you are, you're just lost in the sea of unfamiliarity, and the word driveway just doesn't make sense anymore.
Right. And I guess what I was saying was writing or typing it over and over. You don't have to do that even. It can just be looking at it.
Yes.
On paper.
Right.
Over and over. Because I was thinking it might make sense in the first days of writing when they were using writing longhand to do like logging pounds of wheat or whatever.
Sure.
Like writing the same word over and over might have done it, but that's not necessarily the case.
No, but it can happen like that.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a guy named Leon James. He's the guy who coined the term semantic satiation. There's other terms for it too. Word decrement. It's gross. Extinction.
Gross.
Reminiscence. Yeah. A little too broad. Verbal transformation. That's a good one. But semantic satiation is the one that everybody said. That's the one.
Yeah. And that happened in 1962. He's a professor, or was at least a professor of psychology at the University of Hawaii, mm-hmm. at their College of Social Sciences. And he did some interesting, he described it as he did some experiments we'll talk about in a minute, but he described it in a way that also kind of helps drive it home as a kind of fatigue.
Right, yeah.
And basically, like, he explains how when a cell fires, it's going to take more energy for it to fire the second and third time on down the line. And once you get down to like the fourth time that cell is firing, apparently it won't even respond unless you wait a few seconds. And so I guess, is he likening that to the repetition of the word?
Yeah. He's saying if you just expose yourself to the word the first time, your brain's going to go through the process of recalling all the memories and emotions and everything attached that you have attached to that word.
Right.
And then if you do that again, if you just think or look at the same word or hear the same word again, it's going to do it again, but it's going to be like, okay, I don't know why we're doing this again. Third time, it's going to sigh heavily while it's doing it. The fourth time, it's just going to stand there with its arms crossed and say, I'm not recalling any of this stuff. And again, it's probably because the brain likes to conserve energy as much as possible, and it's being presented with the same stimulus over and over again. And it's like, I've already done my job here. I don't need to keep doing it. This is a waste of energy, literally. And that process does not apply just to semantic satiation. Semantic satiation is a type of a larger phenomenon, which is what I just described, called reactive inhibition. And that's the same thing that's behind going nose blind to the smells in your house. That's a right. type of reactive inhibition too.
Yeah, which was the most disturbing thing I've learned ever on the show.
It is, because it's not great to come back to your house a week later and be like, this is what my house really smells like.
I know. It's sort of that we just tend to live with our head in the sand. I think that's how I'm going to proceed on that one.
That's because if not, then what? You just know your house smells like rotten tangerines or something?
All right, well, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this after this.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime, and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win, and that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friends' money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play. S-Y-S-K.
You should know.
S-Y-S-K. All right, here's a very fun thing that Leon James did. He did a lot of different research on how this can be applied on not just words, but other things. And I find this fascinating, and we'll jump back to the stuttering thing, but the music charts, like the, you know, Billboard Top 100 or whatever.
Yeah.
He studied this, and he found a correlation where songs that really hit the top of the charts really, really fast also went off the charts really, really fast. And songs that kind of worked their way up the top 100 or whatever to the top 10, let's say, also faded away very slowly. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's basically semantic satiation is a type of burnout. And you can burn out on hearing the same thing and your brain being triggered by it over and over again. And the thing that's going to storm the charts is going to get the most airplay.
Right.
So everybody's going to get sick of it faster. It's going to lose its effect more quickly. That's a pretty clever way of showing that by looking at the pop charts.
Yeah.
But it's not just like the charts themselves that show it. The songs, individual songs, have that same effect. Anybody who's listened to any song made by Journey now in 2023 knows that you can burn out on a song after hearing it too many times.
Yeah.
It's sad but true. Journey's songs are so great. But if I hear Don't Stop Believing one more time, I'm going to drive my car into a traffic pole.
Yeah, I had, especially with classic rock, I have a lot of instances of bands that I loved forever. And then I was just like, I can't hear it, any of it anymore.
Right.
But then 15 years later, I'm back on it.
Right, right. Well, that's another feature of semantic satiation. Like Leon James said, if you or the 1907 old-timey psychologist said, if you wait a little bit, it'll come back to you. It's a temporary thing where your brain is like, oh, okay, I'm being presented with this again, and it's new enough. But you can also get easily burned out on that same stuff even faster after it comes back that second time, right?
Yeah, I think so. And classic rock is a great example because that's the genre that refuses to go away.
Right.
And, you know, it's one where you turn it on any classic rock station and you're going to hear that Journey song or that Boston song that you just may not be able to handle anymore that you used to love.
Right, exactly. What's interesting about it, though, is so, like, the words themselves lose their meaning. They stop evoking the emotion or the thought or the association or the conceptual information that you attach to that those words. And the words become like musical notes. It's like the vocals become the same thing as an instrument, like a guitar or something like that. And if you stop and think about it, like, you know all the words to Don't Stop Believin', but they rarely have that same, well, I shouldn't say rarely, it depends on the person, but it can very easily not have any impact on you whatsoever. It can still evoke emotion, but the words themselves aren't making you think of what Steve Perry's saying. And Steve Perry's actually a really good example of that because his vocals are so melodious that it's very easy for them to transition into music rather than words, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you can be a small town girl living in a lonely world and still feel nothing when that song comes up if you've heard it too many times.
Nothing. Except rage.
I think it's interesting that a word can spark an emotion or be tied to an emotion, period. Just like seeing a word on a piece of paper, and they've used examples, I believe, like, you know, even seeing the word anger can like kind of prime the pump for you to be angry. It doesn't necessarily make you angry, but it can spark an emotion in you that sort of gets you headed in that direction, right?
Right, yeah. Like you can be primed to feel anger, whereas if you see that word anger written down or something like that, and something comes along that would make you angry, you're more likely to become angry at that thing if you've seen that word. So yeah, that whole semantic satiation thing reveals that fact that words have that effect. They have emotional attachments. They can evoke emotions in us.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I did mention stuttering at the beginning, and we'll probably just close with this a little bit. Leon James did. He's like, well, I wonder if I could apply this to people who stutter, and let me do this experiment where I call people who have a stutter over and over again all day long and talk to them and see how much I can annoy them. But what he found was the more he called, the less they stuttered. So the stress of receiving that phone call apparently seems like it had been satiated as well.
And yeah, that's not this is probably the same thing as semantic satiation.
I agree.
That's just Leon James showing off.
I think so too.
But what it basically shows is it's the same thing as exposure. Like if you fly in an airplane a bunch and you're afraid to fly, you're going to become less afraid to fly over time. One way to explain it is that you're showing yourself there's actually nothing to be afraid of. Another one is that you're actually stimulating that stress or that anxiety enough times that your brain's just like, forget about it. I'm done. I'm satiated.
Yeah, very interesting.
It is interesting. The brain is interesting, Chuck.
It certainly is.
Well, Chuck agreed with me, everybody, so I'm going to end on a high note and say Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.